From Spark and Anvil and Numberverse, this is Mirror and Tug in Chapter 1 of the Numberverse cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The ancient harbor town of Ballard nestled precisely where the wide river emptied its freshwater into the vast, salty expanse of the sea. Twice each day, the ocean's slow, deliberate swell pushed inland, lifting the entire harbor. Then, just as predictably, the water receded, draining back out to the open sea. The townspeople called this rhythmic exchange the breath of the harbor. With each inhale and exhale, the fishing vessels and cargo ships in the harbor rose and fell, their painted hulls shimmering in the shifting light. The sturdy wooden pilings of the docks bore thick green lines, a century's worth of tight stains that marked the water's daily journey. Everyone in Ballard, even the youngest children, could read these intricate lines, instantly knowing whether the tide was coming in or going out.
"That's a number line," Mira observed, a faint smile playing on her lips. "That's a number line that drains and refills," Tug clarified, his gaze fixed on the receding water. "Twice a day, every single day, forever." A small group of children played on the dock behind them, their voices carrying on the breeze. They were engaged in a spirited game of dares, challenging each other to descend the wooden ladder that led from the dock down into the water. The ladder was marked with rungs at precise 1-foot intervals. The very top rung sat at +5, relative to the standard low watermark, while the bottom rung was at -3, 3 feet below even the lowest standard tide line, meaning it was perpetually submerged. Even at the deepest tide, those bottom three rungs remained underwater. One of the children, a girl of about 10 with bright, determined eyes, was halfway down the ladder. The water currently lapped at the +3 line. She was perched on the +4 rung, her sneakers just above the wetness. Two of the lower rungs, +1 and +2, were dry, clearly visible above the water. The +3 rung was just at water level, while +0 and everything below it disappeared into the murky depths. "How many dry rungs are there below me?" she called up to her older brother, who stood on the dock. He squinted, counting carefully. "2 dry," he reported, "and 3 underwater, then it goes negative." "How many total rungs to the bottom?" she persisted, her voice echoing slightly over the water. "Top of the ladder is +5, he recited, thinking aloud. "Bottom of the ladder is -3. So that makes 8 rungs total. 5 above 0, 3 below 0. 8, she shouted back, a triumphant note in her voice, including the wet ones. Mira leaned closer to Tug, a quiet appreciation in her eyes. "Pretty good," she murmured. "Wait for the next part," Tug advised, a knowing look on his face. Her brother on the dock yelled down again. "But if the tide drops to -2, how many dry rungs will there be then?" The girl on the ladder paused, her brow furrowed in concentration. She visualized the water dropping, then her face cleared. Very confidently, she announced, 5 + 2 = 7. 7 dry rungs. The water will drop 2 more feet.
"That's right," her brother cheered, clearly impressed. Mira grinned at Tug. She used negative numbers without even flinching. "She used negative numbers because the harbor uses negative numbers," Tug explained, his voice gentle. "Every kid in this town learns to read the tide stains by age 6. They know the water can be at +3, or 0, or -2. They understand what those numbers mean physically. The formal math comes later. The physical picture, the concrete reality, always comes first." "My father used to say that too," Mira recalled, a wistful note in her voice. "He'd hold up a clear glass sheet and then a finished silvered mirror. He'd say, 'This is +1. That is -1. Same distance from 0. Opposite sides. One you look through, one you look at.'" Tug nodded slowly, absorbing her words. "That's the cleanest definition I've ever heard," he said, a genuine admiration in his tone. A new minor crisis erupted behind them. A different child, a small boy of about 8, with a mop of unruly brown hair, was standing on the +2 rung. He clutched a small, brightly painted wooden boat. His mission was to gently lower it into the water without dropping it, a task that seemed to confound him. The water was still at +3. He needed to lower the boat down to the water, which, from his perspective, was 1 foot below his rung. He shouted up, his voice tinged with frustration, "Dad, how far down do I lower it?" His father, who was standing on the dock, called down with a helpful, if slightly confusing, explanation. "The water is at +3, son. You are at +2. The water is above your feet." The boy looked utterly bewildered. He stared at his feet, then at the water, then back at his feet. "Hold on," Mirror said, standing up with a decisive movement. "Let me try this one." She walked over to the edge of the dock and leaned down, positioning herself so the boy could see her clearly without straining. "Hello," she said, her voice calm and friendly.
"Hello," the boy replied, still looking confused. "You're standing on the +2 rung," Mirror explained, pointing. "The water is at +3, so where's the water compared to your rung?" The boy thought hard, his brow furrowed. "Above me?" he ventured, his voice a question. "Above you, exactly," Mirror confirmed. "And by how much?" "1 foot," he said, the answer clicking into place. "Right," Mirror affirmed. "So to put your boat into the water, you actually have to lift the boat up by 1 foot, not down. The water's above you." The boy's eyes widened as he looked at the water, which was indeed sloshing just 1 foot above his rung. A sudden, delighted laugh escaped him. He carefully climbed up one rung, now at +3, and gently set his boat onto the water. The small vessel bobbed cheerfully, then floated away. The father, relieved, shouted his thanks from the dock. Tug, who had watched the entire exchange, spoke quietly beside Mirror. "That was the inverse move," he observed. "He thought he needed to lower. You showed him he needed to lift. Same distance, opposite direction. That's all an inverse operation really is." Mirror sat back down beside him, a thoughtful expression on her face. "It's the same as the mirror thing," she agreed. "The reflection. Lower by one is the opposite direction by one of lift by one. The boy needed to do the reflection. He was about to do the wrong half of the pair." "That's the whole inverse operation principle in one little boat," Tug mused. "If you go the wrong direction by 1 foot, you correct it by going the opposite direction by 1 foot. Minus and plus are mirrors of each other. They have the same magnitude, but opposite signs. They undo each other, tug and counter-tug." He paused, a new idea sparking in his mind. "You know," he said, his voice tinged with surprise, "I've been teaching inverse operations for 15 years, and I have never thought about them as mirror images before. I always thought of them as poles in opposite directions, but they're the same fundamental idea. The mirror image of +5 across 0 is -5. The inverse of adding 5 is subtracting 5. It's the same symmetry, just different vocabulary."
"My father would have liked that," Mirror said softly. "He always said the mirror taught the deepest lessons. He didn't know about algebra, but he knew about reflections." "It's the same thing," Tug insisted, a sense of quiet revelation in his voice. "It's all the same thing." The tide continued its steady retreat. The +3 line dropped to +2, then to +1. Mir and Tug walked north along the dock, heading towards the promised beach. By the time they reached their destination, the water had settled at 0. As they finally sat down on the cool sand, it had dropped further, now resting at -1. The wet sand stretched out for 30 yards beyond the standard low water line, revealing treasures previously hidden. The sea glass was, exactly as Mir's father had promised, breathtakingly beautiful. She carefully selected a small, smooth piece of cobalt blue glass, clearly tumbled by the ocean for countless years. She held it up to the late afternoon light, watching as the sun's rays passed through, softened and diffused by the saltwater polish. "Tug," she said, her voice barely a whisper. "Hmm?" he responded, his eyes also on the horizon. "There is no positive without negative. There is no addition without subtraction. There is no high tide without low tide." "That's three ways of saying the same thing," Tug observed, a quiet understanding in his voice. "Yes," Mir confirmed. "That's the chapter," Tug concluded. Three ways, one symmetry. Yes, she agreed, a sense of completeness settling over them. They stayed on the beach until the tide began its slow, inevitable return. Then they walked home along the high water line, observing the subtle changes. The water, they noticed, was now adding a foot of itself back onto the sand for every 15 minutes that passed. It was reflecting the morning's pull, tugging against the morning's slack. They both noticed it at precisely the same moment. Neither of them spoke. They both already knew. And as they walked home through the warm slack of the returning tide, Mir felt something loosen and go still inside her. The deep, unhurried calm of someone who has just watched a difficult idea turn out to be kind, and found a friend standing quietly in the same understanding.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Mirror and Tug. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.